IGP.
Catches in the league going in every week, racking them points up. Who got the streak? Cause we joking, it happens to fun. Yeah, this how the crew getting it done. I'm talking Josh, Adam, and Connor. Yeah, this a command and conquer. Hard hitting, the IR's real. This football, yeah, you know the deal. Cause it's all about the defense and the TDs. Yeah, this is Big 3 IDP.
What's up, you diehards, you degenerates, you lovers of defensive football? This is Josh Raymer, and we are back with another episode of the Big 3 IDP podcast. And unlike most nights, folks, I am here in the Sode Shack by my lonesome. So no Adam Markham, no Connor Raymer. Connor's at home licking his wounds after the GOAT Tom Brady wins his 7th Super Bowl ring. And Addy's off celebrating or possibly buying some more sports cards. It remains to be seen where he is tonight. But I wanted to come bring you guys this recap pod of Super Bowl 55, a 31-9 victory for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Kansas City Chiefs. And Tampa Bay becomes the first team to win a Super Bowl in their home stadium. Of course, the first team to play a Super Bowl in their home stadium. So you just loved for something good to happen to Tom Brady. That guy deserves it after all the rotten luck and up and down career that he's had. No, I think even as a Patriots and Tom Brady hater, you have to admire what Brady did this season. We talked about it on the preview pod. All the respect in the world for Jason Light, their GM, and Bruce Arians, the head coach, ditching Jameis Winston, the former number one overall pick, going and getting Tom Brady, going and getting Gronk and Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette, the three key pieces to this Super Bowl victory. Whoever would have thought that at the beginning of the 2020 season, it would be the four guys the Bucs brought in that made the difference in their Super Bowl victory tonight. But here we are. Gronk has two touchdowns. Antonio Brown has a touchdown. Leonard goes for 135 yards. Playoff Lenny looking great. Probably going to sign a big contract this offseason, even though he definitely shouldn't. And this Tampa Bay defense showed up. This was the story of the game, something we touched on as well in the preview pod, that we felt like the difference between these two defenses was what was going to be the story of the game. Sure enough, it was. And that was on display almost from the very beginning. You saw pretty much every single drive for the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is scrambling for his life. We know he has to have toe surgery after this season, so clearly something wasn't right. But the Tampa Bay defense, which was bringing the house from the very first snap, had him on skates all night. He was never comfortable. You heard this kind of whispered about almost jokingly, like, if Patrick Mahomes, I saw this said well on Twitter, if he wins a Super Bowl with two backup tackles, we might as well not play the NFL for the next decade. But once we got into the game, you actually realized, oh, wait, offensive tackles are important. And all the tweets about, oh, the Kansas City Chiefs, they rotate their offensive linemen, didn't matter. The Kansas City Chiefs gave up 18 pressures tonight, the most in a playoff game since 2010, 11 years since a quarterback has been pressured that much. And with a gimpy Mahomes on one leg with a bad toe scrambling around, it felt like, and you'd have to go back and watch the coach's tape, the all 22, to see if this was the case. Maybe the receivers weren't getting separation. We know the Bucs had Whitehead and Antoine Winfield Jr. back in this game for some secondary reinforcements. So that showed up in a big way. But it just seems like Mahomes had nowhere to throw all game. He was constantly doing kind of this Russell Wilson escape thing where he was probably running a good 30 or 40 yards every single play. Don't get me wrong, some of these throws he made on different platforms, some throws, literally there's a great screenshot from Warren Sharp. I encourage everyone to go check it out, of Patrick Mahomes pretty much parallel to the ground, throwing that strike that I believe hit Tyreek Hill in the face mask. and the Kansas City playmakers that have been so unstoppable all year did not make one single play for their quarterback tonight. It was an embarrassing offensive performance. The tackles, the offensive line really let Mahomes down. Mahomes did everything he could. But in the end, 270 yards on 26 of 49 passing with two interceptions and three sacks. He was getting no help. And he was, maybe the receivers were covered. Maybe the defense was just playing excellent. We know they were getting pressure in his face, but it just seemed like even when he had time, he was gun shy. He wasn't pulling the trigger. And that's what we know about this Tampa Bay defense. Todd Bowles is going to send the house. They are going to get pressure on the quarterback, especially with backup tackles in there. They're going to hit you hard. I mean, Adam and I were talking. We were watching the game together, and there was a play near the end of the game where it was roughing the passer on JPP, and you saw Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, and Devin White all crunch Mahomes at the same time. I think Adam called it a car crash, and that was emblematic of what happened in this game. The Kansas City Chiefs got into a car crash. And it did not end well, not a touchdown for this once thought to be unstoppable Kansas City Chiefs offense. The players were getting smacked all night. You saw Honey Badger John with Tom Brady, Tom chasing him down. It was just the body language is all wrong. There were, you know, arguments on the sideline going on the Chiefs sideline. And at a certain point, you just felt like the life had been drained out of Kansas City, like they had been punched in the mouth by a bully and weren't about to get back up. And I think that was the story of this game. You saw supreme confidence from Brady, who finished 21 of 29 for 201 yards and three touchdowns with only one sack. That's incredible. Didn't have to do much, again, because Leonard Fournette goes for 16 rushes, 89 yards, and a touchdown, and then has four receptions for 46 yards. Just an incredible performance from playoff Lenny. Ronald Jones even kicks in 12 rushes for 61 yards. But it's funny because this Bucs offense was so locked in tonight, they didn't even need Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who combined for three catches for 40 yards. That's mind-blowing, but that's how efficient this Bucs offense was tonight. It was how dominant their defense was. They put together the perfect team for this kind of season, and you saw the plan come to fruition, and what a path to the Super Bowl for Tom Brady. We asked the question last week, would this be Brady's most impressive ring that he's ever won, his most impressive Super Bowl run? I think the big three was in agreement. It was. Because look who he had to go through. The Washington football team defense. It's a nasty defense. Yeah, you got whoever, Heinicke or whoever it was, playing quarterback for them. I know that's not who it was. Some random third stringer. You also had Drew Brees, a diminished Drew Brees, no doubt. But still, a two seed in the NFC. Let's not act like this Saints team was some kind of pushover. And then you had Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, the Packers, the number one seed. And Tom Brady goes into Lambeau and slays the dragon and gets to be the first team to ever play the Super Bowl at home. And then he beats Patrick Mahomes. Mind you, all after switching teams, coming to the Bucs after 20 years with the Pats. And wins a ring in his first season, slaying all those quarterbacks along the way. That's his most impressive ring. I hate Tom Brady, but I respect the hell out of him as a competitor. Because tonight, he showed what playoff experience means in these biggest of moments. That Tampa Bay team felt confident. They felt locked in. It bled over even to the defense. I mean, you saw my thick baby, Devin White, with 12 total tackles, an interception there at the end of the game. Levante David kicking in six tackles. JPP, three tackles. You had Ndamukong Suh with a sack and a half. Shaq Barrett had a monster game, had a sack. So this team, from top to bottom, was locked in. They were healthy, and it was Brady at the helm leading them onto the field with supreme confidence against a hobbled Patrick Mahomes behind a patchwork offensive line. We should have seen this coming. We all three picked the Bucs. We didn't think it would be to this extent. We didn't think this defense was capable of putting up this kind of performance where you hold the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, who it's been since 2016 in his days at Texas Tech, that this guy last lost by double digits, y'all. He's been to two Super Bowls and hasn't lost a game by double digits in 5 years. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense went in there and did that to him in front of the whole world. It's crazy. I thought it would be a much closer game. I think I predicted 35-32. Never in a million years. If it was going to be a blowout, I thought for sure that it would be Kansas City being the ones to blow out the Bucs, who maybe were, you know, punching above their weight for the playoffs. Nope. Don't count out the GOAT. I think the bigger discussion we were having is, does this make Tom Brady the GOAT of all GOATs? The greatest athlete in sports history, up there with Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, other greats. And I think the answer has to be yes. More rings and dominating in different phases of his career, not just burning bright for a season, but having the three rings at the beginning of his career going, I believe it, they said 28-36. He didn't win any rings. So 8 year stretch, no rings. And then since age 36, he's won four. That's incredible. He's only gotten better with age. He's already sat on the podium holding up the trophy that he's coming back next year. I don't know why they wouldn't be the NFC favorite. Shout out to Addy, who was all over this Tom Brady thing from the get-go. Did he hit 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns? No. But he had a hell of a season. Addy called it back around middle of the season on DF Triple S. You can go back and check the receipts that he thought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could make it to the Super Bowl, and here we are. What a fun season. As we reflect back on this 2020 season, we have to give the NFL its props for making all the games happen. Yes, some got shuffled around a little bit. There were some things that made you roll your eyes in terms of, okay, how serious is the NFL taking this? Or what are they doing? But they got it done, y'all. Roger Goodell and this NFL leadership, for all the crap that we've all given them over the years, they got this thing done and made it look pretty easy, honestly. I mean, we had maybe three or four plays that got a little wobbly as the season went along, but for the most part, they pulled it off. And I, for one, am extremely grateful. For as crappy as last year and the start to this year has been, the NFL has always been something that we can look forward to, some sense of normalcy amidst a sea of chaos for most of us. So thank you, NFL. This year in particular, I appreciate the distraction and the chance to watch the greatest players in the world play the game that I love the most. We didn't lose any games. We didn't have to bump anything back a week and throw things out of whack. Allie and I got to have our rooftop pool experience in Vegas for Super Wild Card Weekend, and I will cherish that memory forever. So thank you, NFL. Here we are, another Tom Brady Super Bowl. A lot of things can change, but things stay the same, it seems like, as well, especially when it comes to the NFL and the Super Bowl winner. So congratulations to the Bucs. Congratulations to my thick baby, Devin White. Congratulations to Tom Brady. What an accomplishment coming over from the AFC to the NFC and getting it done against the Kansas City Chiefs. We have to think Mahomes will be back in this game. I think he will, but you never know. These windows can close quickly. But it seems like with the coach and the quarterback and the talent they have in place, this team is set up to do very well for a very long time. But we'll see how the landscape always shifts. There's going to be some quarterbacks on the move, so you never know how things are going to shake out in the AFC if contenders are going to rise up that could knock the Chiefs off their perch. We'll see. It's going to be very fascinating. with free agency right around the corner, the draft right after that, and then before long, we're back into training camp. So things will go dark on the NFL front here for a little bit. Big 3 podcast isn't going anywhere, so don't worry. We'll be here. We've got a great week of content coming up for y'all. Tuesday, my wife, Allie, and Adam's wife, Natalie, will be here to talk about the hottest offensive players in the league, y'all. It's a pod takeover, the first of probably 2 or 3 we're going to do this offseason. So look forward to that. Show the girls some love. They're doing their prep. They're doing their research. They're really excited. They're going to have a live stream. It's going to be a lot of fun. So check it out. Thursday, of course, as you know, you've got it circled on your calendar and big red marker. John Macri's pod, the Big Nickel IDP podcast, is going to be dropping in the feed with yours truly, along with Adam and Connor, to redraft the 2020 rookies, including IDP, because that's what we do. We're going to go 5 rounds. So 20 players. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I know John's excited. So again, show him some love, y'all. The best in the game right now on Twitter. Make sure you check him out at PFF Macri. I think that's actually PFF underscore Macri. I will vet that while we're sitting here. So before we wrap up, as most of you know who have listened to this show for any amount of time, there are, without a doubt, certain influences on this podcast. And it is at PFF underscore Macri if you're not following our baby Johnny Mac. But for me, and you've heard it mentioned time and time again, it's one of the few NFL pods I listen to year-round, the Around the NFL podcast. This is a show I started listening to in 2014, so going on about 7 years. I believe it had been around for a year before that, so they're in about their 8th year, which is crazy. Love those guys. Have, you know, friendships with a couple guys on the pod, listen to it all the time. Just my favorite NFL property out there in terms of content by far. And this was a tough weekend. I think if you follow me on Twitter, you saw the news. But I just wanted to take a moment here to react to the tragic passing of the Around the NFL podcast member, Chris Wessling. Chris was a writer for NFL.com. He'd been with the company for probably about as long as the podcast had been around, probably 7+ years at this point. Was with Greg Rosenthal, who was also on the Around the NFL podcast at Roto World. So when Greg came over to the NFL.com, NFL Media, he convinced Chris to move out from Tybee Island, Georgia, to Los Angeles. The big change of pace for Chris, I know he's talked about it before. He's a country boy, grew up in Cincinnati, lived in Tybee, was a mailman living in L.A. on the West Coast. It was a big change, and I don't think Wes was a fan of it originally, even though I think in the later years he did grow to love the city. Tragically passed away on Friday, 46 years old, battled with cancer. It was esophageal cancer the first time around, went into remission, came back this time, and it spread, according to his wife, Lakeisha, went into the hospital on January 19th and never came home. And I know I speak for not just all the listeners of the Around the NFL podcast, but anyone that ever knew Chris, his friends, his family, those of colleagues that he had and friends across the football industry. Just go look at some of the tributes, and you probably saw them. If you follow major NFL media folks on Twitter, you saw the tributes. Rich Eisen had a beautiful tribute. Colleen Wolf as well on the Super Bowl coverage today, which was wonderful to see. But they all said the same thing. The Chris that you saw on the podcast was the Chris that you got in real life. He wasn't playing a character. He wasn't putting up some kind of front. He was passionate. He was brilliant. He was friendly, he was loving, he was smart, he was caring, he was kind. And there are a lot of people who felt like when they heard this news that they had lost a family member. I know I was one of those. Despite having never met Chris in person, only interacting with him on Twitter, he felt like a brother. And so losing him, it truly did feel like a death in the family. And I know that those who knew him best will miss him for the rest of their lives. Dan Hansis said that well. The host of the Around the NFL podcast said that on Twitter. And I think that's true of everyone who knew Chris that well. Of course, my heart breaks the most for his wife, Lakeisha, his infant son, Link. Check out any of the Around the NFL guys. They should have the GoFundMe. I think the Around the NFL podcast handle also retweeted it. So go check it out. There is a GoFundMe set up for Lakeisha. And you can see she's named as the beneficiary on the GoFundMe. So it's not some sort of scam. The goal is $100,000. Last time I checked when I donated this morning, it was around $70,000. So if you ever listen to the Around the NFL podcast or watch their show or read their articles, or heck, even if you just listen to this show and you admire the fact that we are here today because of that podcast, because I can tell you all the truth, this show would not exist without Around the NFL. They, for me, were the blueprint. I have always strived to make this show as excellent as their show is. Different, but still excellent. And it's content, it's quality, it's chemistry, it's humor, it's heart. They always said it was football with a dash of mirth, and we followed that same formula. So even if you just listen to us and you would like to help out a family that is hurting, check out the GoFundMe for Lakeisha and Link, and give what you can. Every dollar helps because it goes straight to them. So, Chris, rest easy, my friend. We miss you. We love you. Thank you for all the memories. So with that, 2020 NFL season is over. The dark period is upon us. And even though the Combine, which is a low-key fun TV event, we won't get that this year. The draft's right around the corner, folks, so don't despair. Football season will be here again before we know it. Thank you all for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you, and we are so excited as we begin season number 3 with you guys. Take care, stay safe, and we'll see y'all on Tuesday to discuss some hot dudes.
This is Big 3 IGP.
Going in every week, racking them points up. Who got the streak? Cause we joking, it happens to fun. Yeah, this how the crew getting it done. I'm talking Josh, Adam, and Connor. Yeah, this a command and conquer.